we have been discussing a bit about the importance of finding a community, finding a relationship with God, not just getting saved, but taking on those next steps and trying to see what that actually looks like to physically start doing that in your life. What does it look like for us to physically do it, to spiritually do it, just in general, to have a mindset where we're willing to take that next step and we're seeking those next steps? And I've talked very broad about some really large, kind of big categories. And there is so much more that we could go into on praying. There's only so much that I know about praying and praise. And there's only so much that I know about listening to God. I'm only 23. I'm not that much farther ahead in life than you guys. I'm sure in like another 10 years, I'm probably going to have a lot more that I understand on these things. So I only know a limited amount on these things. But what I'm trying to get to on a lot of these things is kind of like where our heart is with these things. Like if we're really seeking that, if we're really truly trying to do that, these things are going to start coming to you if you're really trying to get there. And these are all based off of these instructions that we get through God's word. All these things that we're looking at are all these things I'm telling you are really just coming from what God's shared with me through his word, through the church, through other people. And it's apart from that, we don't really have these lessons. So to quickly recap, before we get into today's lesson, I'll keep it short. We're going to have a bit of a shorter lesson, hopefully, unless I ramble. We're going to try to get a shorter lesson, and then we're going to break into our groups and hopefully give you guys a chance to kind of discuss one last time as a cabin and kind of group there. But to recap, being alone is bad, it's dangerous, it's scary. You're just making it harder on yourself if you isolate yourself. You're not willing to invest in God, you're not willing to invest in a church community, you're just going to keep making it a lot harder on yourself. And on the flip side of that, there is God that created you. He's your father and he loves you. He wants to talk to you. So even if you don't have a great church community, if you don't have great friends you can really rely on and you feel like you can trust, you still got God who's consistently always there and he's not going to fail you. If you're willing to invest in that relationship, it's going to help you grow exponentially. Next, we have to learn how to talk to God. So if you're willing to learn how to invest in God and you're willing to take that step to communicate to God, we have to learn how to communicate to God. The way we do that is first through listening. And we talked about the importance of listening and just being willing to hear God. Then we talked about the importance of being able to listen to our Bibles, how to read your Bible, how to ask good questions as you're reading it, how to seek more from it. And then we talked about the importance of a church community, how to listen to God through church, how to hear God through other believers, how that can encourage us, how that can build us up, how that can really help us grow. And then we talked about how we can praise God, and we talked a little bit about how we can pray to God. And that's kind of where we're at now. So we have this idea and this structure of how we communicate to God. We've got that accomplished. But if our faith is just about us and God, and we just have this really great relationship with our bubble of friends in our church now, and we're not willing to ever do anything else with that, we've kind of missed the point. See, at some point, we have to be willing to go somewhere and do something with what we've learned. Because if we just learn all these great things, but we never actually show up and pursue these things and share these things with other people, we're not really doing anything with it. It's great for me to build my Lego set. If I build that thing, I just leave it there, it's kind of worthless. I've done nothing with it. I have to engage with that to get the most out of what I spent my money on, the Lego set. In the same way with our relationship with God, if we have a really solid communication process with him, but we're never willing to go out and share that with other people, we're kind of missing the point on it. So the only passage we're going to go into today is going to be Matthew 28, 16 through 20. This is the final message that Jesus has for his disciples. For context, Jesus at this point has died. He died on the cross. The disciples witnessed that. Judas kind of fell off, and he's now dead. And 3 days later, You know, Jesus rose, we have salvation, that's amazing. And he comes back, and he shows himself to two ladies at first, and then he shows himself to over 500 people over a span of 40 days, and that's kind of where we're at in this point, is in this 40-day span after he resurrected, after Jesus came back. He's back alive now. This is exciting, and the disciples think, we got it. We're back in business. We're doing our thing again. We're going to keep going, doing miracles. We're going to keep healing people. We're going to keep casting out demons. We got, you know, Jesus is like our hype man. He's the guy that's like really giving us our power. We got it. We're doing it again. And then Jesus is like, all right, cool. I'm leaving. And it's like kind of deflating a balloon. Like it just stinks. Like you probably hear a pin drop in the room as he's getting ready to tell the disciples this stuff. And all this excitement and joy that they have about him being resurrected, now he's kind of giving them this final message before he leaves. It's almost like, imagine if your parents are about to get ready to go on vacation, and they're going to leave you in charge of the house. And so they're giving you their final instructions because they're leaving you in charge of something that they care about. Jesus is kind of leaving us in charge of the earth. And granted, he's still in control. I want to make that clear. God's still in control. His hand is still over the earth, and he still allows things to happen here. And he's still very present here. But he's giving final instructions and kind of passing the torch off to his disciples to keep the work going. And so, as we talked about the importance of listening to God, if there's ever a time that we need to listen to God, this is probably one of the most crucial times to listen to him. This is the final time that he's going to talk to his disciples. After this, he's going to ascend to heaven, and he's going to be gone until he returns eventually to end it, to take us into eternity with him. So until that happens, he's leaving town for a while. So we're going to read 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they immediately worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught and commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." And so, a lot of times we will see this, and a lot of people will use this as a big thing about go and be a missionary, and that's a really cool thing. I've learned a lot. I've been on two mission trips overseas now, kind of overseas. One was to Central America, so not really overseas, kind of like just flying over Florida. But I went to Egypt recently and spent time there for like a week, and while those were both amazing trips, and I was able to impact lives there, God did that through me. It wasn't me. It was totally God. And that was a really cool experience for me. But that doesn't happen if I wasn't willing to first go there. See, I don't have those relationships with those people that I made on those trips if I didn't first go somewhere. So I don't want us to get unfocused with where you necessarily should be going too much. We'll discuss that later. But what I want us to see here and the importance is the first thing he kind of starts with, this final instruction, is to go. If we have this great relationship with God, but we're never willing to go, the faith kind of just stops there. You're just prohibiting it from going farther. My first summer here, I didn't really want to necessarily be here. I didn't really have any thought process of going to Camp Tapawingo. My church used to go to a camp called Woodlands, which I thought was a cooler camp at the time. And I was like, why are they using Tapawingo now? This doesn't seem as cool as Woodlands. And I kind of lost interest in it, and I didn't really ever give Tapawingo much of a thought process. And so time goes by, and eventually I'm kind of like 20 now. That was like in high school. So I kind of already checked out of what the idea of Camp Tapawingo was in my mind. And I'm like 20 now, and my one of my friends at church, who is a board member here, his name's Barry Perlman, and he's good friends with Dave and Kathy Johnson here. And Barry First, his wife came to me, Kathy, and they have the same name, Kathy Johnson and Kathy Perlman, and they're both like really good friends. They know each other really well, and they've known me since birth. And Kathy Perlman and Kathy Johnson were talking, and they knew that they needed male counselors here. And so Kathy came to me and started talking to me about, hey, you should be a counselor here. And I kind of gave her the answer of like, I'll pray about it, which is like the polite way of me saying no. I just got laid off from another job, and I was like, all right, I got to make money. Being a camp counselor is not a really productive way to make money. I'm in my 20s now. I'm adulting. I got to figure something else out. Clearly, that can't be God's plan for me. I got to go make money. So I kind of checked out mentally. About a week later, her husband, Barry, texted me, and Barry told me that we're going to go and we're going to meet for lunch. He didn't really give me a choice. He just told me we're going to go do it. So I meet with Barry. I remember sitting down with him at a Noodles & Company restaurant, and he's sitting there, and he basically kind of gave me a pep talk on, like, telling me where I was in life. And he told me, because he knew me very well, he was like, David, you say you want to go into ministry. You're in your 20s now. You're pursuing God. You want to go and preach the word. You want to go and proclaim his name. But yet right here, you have this perfect opportunity for you to go be a camp counselor somewhere, and you're not willing to go there. What are you doing? And there's a lot of other things that were said in that, but that kind of stuck with me and kind of hit me. So I had to be willing to then question that. And that really sat with me. God started working on me. I was like, why am I not willing to go? I mean, all of us here probably proclaim to be a Christian, but so often we're not willing to go when God is telling us to go somewhere. We all have opportunities in our lives for us to go somewhere, but for whatever reason, we kind of give those answers of like, I'll pray about that, or I'll think about that, or maybe we just don't even do that. We're just like, heck no, I'm not doing that. That's not going to be productive. That doesn't seem like it would be God's will. It doesn't make sense to me, and if it doesn't make sense to me, that can't be right, so I'm not going. And if I wasn't willing to come here, I wasn't willing to go to Camp Tapawingo, I wouldn't be where I am talking to you guys now, and I wouldn't have the relationship with Tristan and be able to talk about his receding hairline and get to know you guys. I wouldn't be able to do all that. That wouldn't happen if I wasn't first willing to go somewhere. So it's kind of like the church thing that I talked about in our relationship and how you have to be willing to invest in the church to be able to kind of get more out of it. But it's kind of like a step farther than that. Because there's people in our lives that we need to be going to. Now, when Jesus was telling disciples to go, he was very aware of what he was telling them to do. You see, all the disciples, after hearing this commission, all of them kind of spread out. Some of them kind of went in groups for a little bit. Some of them all went individually for a little bit. Paul got involved, some other apostles got involved, a guy named Barnabas got involved. There's a bunch of different people that kind of got involved with this, and like the now 11 disciples kind of grew, and it wasn't really disciples at this point. They're all apostles now, and they're going, they're spreading the word, the church is starting to form, things are happening, it's looking cool, and none of that happens, though, if they weren't willing to go, and all of them ended up going, and where God was sending them was to their deaths, and he was very aware of that. You see, when Jesus told them to go, he knew that he was telling what 10 of his 11 closest friends, the only one that didn't end up dying a horrific death was John, and he's the guy that wrote Revelation for us. These are his closest friends, and he was looking them in the eyes and telling them to go, and they didn't know this at the time, but he knew exactly where he was sending them. And in fact, he knew better than anybody else what going was going to look like because he was willing to first go to earth. See, Jesus was in heaven. He was with God. He had perfection. He was away from sin. He was away from the arguments that we have with our parents here. He was away from the things that we grasp onto, seeking glory from and that leave us empty. He was away from depression and sadness. He had none of that. He was in heaven. But he had to first be willing to go to earth. And then when he got to earth, he got persecuted all the way up to the point where he died. One of the worst ways you can possibly die is crucifixion. He took that. He knew he was going to have to do that. And he was willing to go still. And he was doing the same thing for the disciples here, telling them to go. He was aware of the persecution they were going to face. And he knew that better than anybody else ever knew that. And yet he was still telling them to go. And I think a lot of times, if we are bogged down and confused and we question the persecution, we're not often willing to go. And if we're not willing to go when it's difficult, we're going to miss out on the joy of what God has in store for us. In the first lesson, I told you guys about how God created you intentionally, and God wants you to be on this earth, and he wants to have that relationship with you on this earth. And I told you that there's no way that God could possibly love you more. In fact, the way that we see love executed the highest, if someone's willing to lay their life down for you, and God was willing to do that for you. So it's impossible for God to love you more than he already does, and that he's still telling you to go somewhere today. When we leave camp, there's somewhere that you can be going. And he's aware of what the repercussions of that may be, and he still loves you through that. For me, coming to camp wasn't ideal for me. I didn't necessarily want to go to Camp Tapawingo. And I came here, and I remember I was the first counselor that got here that summer. And I showed up, and I think maybe Tristan was here, or Matthew might have been here somewhere, but I think they were off campus. And I showed up here, and the first people I saw was Uncle Paul and Dave Johnson and like the Schumachers, and they were like putting in the nine ball court. And I was like, am I really just gonna come to this camp to like help do manual labor around a camp all summer? This is gonna be the worst summer of my life. And I wasn't really looking forward to it. I had to be willing to push through that and be like, God, I'm gonna trust you with this. And I ended up kind of, for some reason, I don't really know why, but I was willing to kind of eliminate distractions. At the very beginning of that summer, I said, you know, fully willing to submit after the conversation I had with Barry, my friend, I was trying to fully submit myself, just be like, all right, I'm going to trust you with this summer, and I'm going to let you guide me in this summer, and I'm going to not focus on getting to be friends with everybody there. I'm not going to focus on trying to be the best counselor necessarily. I just want to focus on serving you, so whatever that looks like. And the summer's going on. I'm not doing as well as I thought I'd be doing. My cabins always got along. We always had fun. We pretty much won every game. We were doing great in that sense, but in a spiritual sense, I wasn't leading anybody to Christ, and I was really beating myself up over that, and I wasn't really happy about that. See, every morning, the counselors will wake up before the campers woke up, and we would go down to the staff cabin, and we would all kind of share about what happened the last day. And pretty much every day, it felt like somebody had somebody that came to Christ in their cabin. You know, Tristan would share about how he was able to lead somebody to Christ last week, or Matthew would share about that, or Rachel would share about that. And to me, I'm like 5 weeks in at this point, and I haven't really led anybody to Christ. And though from an outside perspective, I'm succeeding as a counselor, no one's injured, people aren't going home early, my kids are having a good time, but I wasn't really getting the spiritual breakthroughs that I was wanting, and I was beating myself up over that. And I was really discouraged. I mean, I didn't really even want to be at the camp at this point, but I still had to be willing to push through because God told me to go here. And what that ended up leading me to was probably the happiest moment of my entire life. Like, nothing tops this to this point for me. And I remember, it's like, I think week five, we're like in an elementary camp week. And Alex Music was my co-counselor at this point. And we have like the worst cabin in history. And it's a bunch of like little elementary dudes that wouldn't get along with one another. If I walked out of the room for like 5 seconds, when I came back, probably like 15 different like fights were happening, and there's only like five of them. So I don't even know how you have that many fights, but somehow they would like all be picking on each other and bullying each other. And there's always like these little groups of two of like attacking one another. And it stunk. I mean, the entire week, I was like, these dudes are a bunch of little turds. They're not getting along at all. And it just stunk. They weren't paying attention in chapel. They weren't listening to the word of God. They wouldn't listen to me hardly. And it was like Thursday night. I've kind of like almost ready to turn the page and be like, all right, well, we'll just work on next week. Clearly it ain't happening this week. We'll just turn the page to next week. And we're going down And the kid that I thought was probably the most likely to be saved told me that he wasn't saved. And then we had that conversation, and I got to lead him to Christ. And then, like, 5 minutes later, another kid came to me and said, I'm not saved. I want to come to Christ, too. And I got to lead him to Christ. And I ended up leading, like, 4 of those kids to Christ. Alex led another kid to Christ that night. And I ended up having that, like, our cabin of, I think, 8 campers, 5 of them, especially the ones that were arguing all the time, ended up all coming to know God at the same time. And I have no idea why that happened. I don't understand God's timing on that entirely. And what ended up transpiring from that is I'm pretty happy now. Alex is pretty happy now. We're like, all right, we did it. This was like the hardest week we've had, and yet somehow God's using this. And that's often what we see in the Bible, is God takes these hardest situations, and that's when he uses them the most. He consistently takes an underdog. He consistently takes someone that's not perfect and uses that person to carry out his will for us. He consistently takes a group of people that don't seem like likely candidates and uses them for his will and for his purpose. And in the same way, he did that here, where it was a week that didn't really seem like it was going to work out, and yet somehow it worked out the best out of any week. And I led to this thing where I remember we get done with campfire on Thursday, and Alex has the campers up at cabin 9, and I step away for a minute because Uncle Paul is at the bottom of Faith Lodge, and I go down to the bottom of Faith Lodge, leaving them up at the top of cabin 9, and I go down to Uncle Paul, and I'm like, hey, are you cool if I push the curfew back? And I've already done that a few times, and Dave and Kathy told me that if I keep doing that, I was going to get in trouble. So I made sure I asked this time, which may have been a mistake because I left the campers with Alex, which may have been a mistake. And Alex is great. He's a little bit older and wiser now, but at this point, Alex is still like 16 or something. And so I come back up there, and we previously in the day, Uncle Paul had given one of our kids, for whatever reason, Uncle Paul thought this was a good idea, a massive bottle of Mountain Lightning. It was like off-brand Mountain Dew. I have no idea why Uncle Paul thought that Mountain Lightning and the cabin that doesn't get along the most was a great combination. But Uncle Paul, in his infinite wisdom that's beyond my mind, thought that was a good idea. So I'm thinking I'm going to come back up there, and I'm like, hey, we can give them all like a little bit of Mountain Lightning to celebrate because they're finally getting along. And I'll tell Alex we can stay up a little bit later because we got permission, and we'll have a good time. We'll get their energy out, and we'll go to bed. And I come back up there, and Alex is standing outside of cabin 9. None of the campers are there. And I'm like, Alex, where are the campers? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, all right, whatever. We can have Mountain Lightning, and we can just maybe do like half the bottle, and we'll share it across people. And it's like a large 2-liter. And Alex is like, oh. And then I look at the Mountain Dew bottle, and I'm like, oh. And for some reason, Alex thought it was a good idea to give them like the entire bottle of Mountain Lightning. So we're down to like this much Mountain Lightning now left in this bottle. And that means that all of these campers that don't get along, that have like way more energy than I know what to do with, I'm discouraged and I'm still tired at this point. And now all of them are hyped up. And I'm like, Alex, we got to get in there right now. We got to settle the campers down. We got to fix this. I open the door, and the first thing I'm greeted with is a camper that tells me he's going to throw up. And then he slams the door in my face. And I'm like, what is happening? This is terrible now. So I swing open the door. The camper's gone. I don't know how, but apparently he just like teleported into the bathroom. And I have no campers. I left Alex alone for like 5 seconds. They're all energetic. They're all disappearing. And I'm trying to find them. So Alex and I rush to the bathroom. We open it up. And all these little like 5-year-olds are in their underwear dancing in the shower singing that they all got saved. No questions. I don't think so. And they're all saying they all got saved. And for some reason, that moment ended up being like the most joyful moment of my entire life. Because God took the situation where I didn't want to go somewhere, and I didn't want to be somewhere, and I wasn't willing to take the step and go, and I was discouraged, and he took that and used it to have this point where I ended up getting to lead multiple people to Christ, and that's all glory to God. It's not me, it's entirely him. I was stinking as a counselor that week. And yet he used that. And I remember just Alex and I both had like tears in our eyes. We just like hugged each other. We were just so happy. And like the campers were just so happy. And he took this situation that seemed like it would stink and he made it something beautiful. So that's a point where I don't want to go somewhere. I wasn't really financially, it probably wasn't the wisest decision for me. And in an adulting sense, it might have not been the wisest decision for me. And God knew that, but he still told me to go to camp. And where that led me was the most joyful moment of my life. And it goes back to what we were talking about in James, how I mentioned that as we face trials, and as Job did, as he had trials, these are the opportunities for us to praise God the most. These are the opportunities for us to communicate with him the most. That doesn't happen if I'm not willing to go and communicate with God. That moment, like the best moment of my life, doesn't happen if I'm not willing to go where God's telling me to go, communicate with God, work with him, build that relationship, and spread that with other people. You're missing out on what God has in store with you, because God's plan is still going to happen whether we do it or not. He's still going to make his plan happen. Those kids, I'm sure, probably still would have got saved by somebody else, and it still would have happened. But if I wasn't willing to go, I wouldn't have got to share in the joy of that. That's part of God's plan for me. He had that planned out for me, and I was able to be a part of that. And I got to see how beautiful God's plan is. God has a plan for you guys. As I said, he intentionally made you. He's your father. He created you. He wants to spend that time with you. He has great plans for you, but you're going to miss out on them if you're not willing to go somewhere. The last thing I'll say on going is, even when it's difficult, I really want to focus on the trials. If you know, that was just kind of one example of like how I didn't necessarily want to go somewhere, but especially with my testimony in Chicago, if I wasn't willing to go there, my life would have never been changed. If Hector, the guy that prayed over me, wasn't willing to wake up that Sunday and go somewhere, my life probably wouldn't be changed the way it was now. God's plan still could have worked out in a different way, maybe, but it probably wouldn't lead to me standing here now talking to you guys. There are times that we need to be going somewhere and times that we need to be willing to take that step. I mean, if there's ever a time for us to listen to God, it's right here when Jesus is about to leave and he's telling everybody to go. Jesus is telling you guys to go somewhere. There's somewhere for you guys to go. And even when it's difficult, I would argue that that's probably when we should be going the most. Tim Tebow, who's a athlete, he's a college athlete, he's a big Christian guy. For a while, he was kind of like the pinnacle of like a Christian dude because he was jacked and he was good at football and he still loved God. And like every dude was like, Tim Tebow is the man. And like Tim Tebow made it out of college football and he made it to the NFL. And at this point, there wasn't a whole lot of Christian athletes that were very outspoken, at least not to my recollection. And he was very outspoken about his faith. And Tim Tebow had a teammate that also made it out with him, and they both made it to the NFL. And Tim Tebow and that teammate talked, and he said, anything that happens bad in our career, whether we get traded to a team that we don't want to, we get drafted to a team that stinks, we end up getting injured and we can't play, if we end up getting benched and we can't play, whatever it is, any time that something negative in our career happens, we need to go out to our community and we serve. Because it's really difficult for you to be worried about your circumstances and for you to be selfish and to think about all the bad things that are happening in your life if you're going out and you're serving people. So at the end of the day, there's going to be those bad things that happen. And I started intentionally with telling you guys how to communicate with God, because that's really crucial. I don't want you guys to ignore the issues. But once you give those things to God and you have that prayer and you have that church community that you give that to, you got to get back up and you got to keep going. And in the same way that I did, and that led me to the best point of my entire life with that willingness to go, that's probably when you should be going the most. Lean on that church community. Lean on your relationship with God. Yes, absolutely. But then be willing to go. All of you guys have something in your life that we talked about in group last night, and there was something that might be a sin that's kind of weighing you down, or just a family situation that stinks. Maybe there's something that's outside of your circumstances that you can't really control that just stinks. There's always things that are in our lives, and yet God's still telling us to go somewhere. And he has intentional reason for that. He has a plan for that. The question that I'm going to leave you guys with is if you're willing to go. So you first have to ask yourself if you're willing to invest in God. That's what we did in lesson one. You have to ask yourself if you're really wanting that relationship with God. And if we get that far, we have to learn how to talk to God then. And if you understand that, that's amazing. So for those of you guys that are really understanding that, and even those of you that aren't, now that we get all those ideas and those concepts, the last step, the final instructions that Jesus is giving us is for us to go out. All of you guys have communities you can go to. All of you guys have people you can be going to. The question is if you're willing to. And I promise you, if you're willing to, God can really use that and change not only your life, but the lives of others. And nothing is going to top that. Absolutely nothing. That's going to be the best experience you can have in your life if you're willing to just simply go. So we're going to break up into groups, and I'm going to pray us out first. But we're going to talk about what that looks like to go. Counselors, I have on the back table questions for you guys to talk about with your groups, and then we'll move on to the next thing after that. So we're going to pray. Father, thank you just for this weekend, Lord. Thank you for Camp Tappawingo and just the willingness that you had to host this event, Lord, and just Uncle Paul's heart for serving, and just the kitchen staff and Angela and everybody that was willing to make this happen. Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for their willingness to serve, Lord. Father, thank you for just the kids that were willing to go out of their houses and come here, Lord, and be a part of this weekend. Whether there was other stuff they could have been doing or not, Lord, they still chose to come here, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for who you brought here. Father, thank you for the counselors that were willing to come here this weekend and to invest time into these kids and to love these kids. And Father, thank you for allowing me this opportunity just to be here to teach, Lord. Father, I pray that just all of us can see somewhere or someone that we should be going to. I pray that you allow us to see whom that might be. But not only that we see it, Lord, but I pray that we have the courage to step out and actually go there, Lord. I pray that you do something in these guys' lives here that just makes them want to go, that they don't want to just keep it, Lord, but they want to go and they want to spread your word, Lord. I thank you once again for just all these things, Lord. I thank you for this weekend. I thank you for the counselors, Lord, and just Camp Tappawingo and the staff here, Lord. And ultimately, I thank you for your willingness to go out of heaven and come here and just give us a relationship with you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.